Making it work takes a little longer. Making it work takes a little time. Making it work takes a little longer.
You're listening to News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
A little bit more Doug and the Slugs for you. That's Making It Work, one of their other big, big hits. Check out the documentary, Doug and the Slugs and Me. It's worth a look. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. He'll be back next week. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I told you about a Winnie the Pooh film, a new Winnie the Pooh film, but this is one you definitely don't want to take the children to. Winnie the Pooh in this one is like a bloodthirsty monster that kills people and is covered in blood and does terrible, terrible things. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wait, doesn't Walt Disney own Winnie the Pooh? Well, they don't. They did for a very long time, but now Winnie the Pooh is in the public domain in the U.S., which means that there can be a terrifying movie about Winnie the Pooh out there. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about public domain, because there's a lot of stuff that is entering the public domain in 2023 that's quite fascinating. Metropolis by Fritz Lang, one of the greatest silent movies ever made. The Jazz Singer, the first movie to ever win an Academy Award, Wings, lots of songs that you know. Like Putting on the Ritz, Ice Cream, You Scream, We All Scream for Ice Cream. It goes on and on and on. But what does it mean to go into the public domain? Well, to answer that question, we've brought in Ian Harris, entertainment lawyer from Edwards Creative Law. Ian, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Richard. Thank you very much for having me.
So the public domain, as far as I understand it, I'll get you to clarify this, but just simply means that no one holds a copyright on it any longer. How long does something have to sit before it becomes public domain?
Right. So great question. And yeah, just to clarify at a high level, public domain refers to works like Winnie the Pooh, or the other works you mentioned, literary, dramatic, artistic, musical works that are not, for one reason or another, protected by copyright. And that's usually because the copyright has expired.
Mm-hmm.
So for works that are in the public domain, members of the public, you or me, are free to use those works in ways that we would not be able to use them if they were, in fact, protected by copyright. So, you know, for example, we can produce the works, reproduce the works, perform them in public, and also publish the works. So the question about how long a work needs to exist before it enters the public domain is a rather interesting one, because in Canada, the law changed in 2022.
Oh.
For a long time, Canada abided by the Life Plus 50 rule,
right,
which meant that after the death of the author of the work, copyright continued to exist for 50 years. At the end of 2022, that no longer is the case, and Canada adopted a Life Plus 70 rule, which followed what is done in the United States and in most of Europe and with most of Canada's major trading partners. In fact, Canada was required to do this by part of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement that replaced NAFTA.
And it's interesting. I think that probably one of the reasons, and you can tell me why it was changed, is that these things simply are worth more money now than they would have been 30 years ago. We're using them more, and these properties probably have the opportunity to generate more money. And so the copyright holders are obviously very interested in extending that life for as long as they can.
It's a good point. The reason why Canada or the U.S. initially extended copyright from 50 to 70 years, this was done by the United States in 1998 under a piece of legislation called the Sonny Bono Copyright Term Extension Act, named after the artist Sonny Bono, who was a congressman at the time, or actually the act was passed posthumously. He died obviously young and unexpectedly, but he had been lobbying for a no limit to the life of copyright.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so there is a very small number of works, copyrighted works, that do retain their value for a long period of time, longer than the lifetime of copyright. But they are probably less than 1% of all the works.
I mean, we're talking Mickey Mouse and, you know, Gone with the Wind, probably, things like that.
Yeah, those are great examples.
Yeah.
So there is a lot, there was in the U.S. and probably in Canada as well, a lobby of these small group of copyright owners who own the valuable copyright to extend the life so that they can continue to capitalize on the value.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I would say, rather a controversial thing. There is value to the public to have these works enter the public domain because it allows artists to then take them and do their own thing with them. You know, we can probably think of many examples of the works of William Shakespeare that have been picked up by artists and great works have been made from them, which wouldn't have been able to happen if those works were protected by copyright. And the extension is kind of contradictory to, well, it's not contradictory, but it doesn't really accord with the rationale of copyright in the first place. Copyright provides incentive to artists to create. If you create something, you spend a bunch of effort and come out with something great, copyright says that other people can't take it from you and capitalize on it for themselves. It belongs to you. Now, extending the life of copyright for 20 years after, you know, from 50 years after a person's dead to 70 years after a person's dead, is not going to provide any incentive to an artist to create.
That's right.
You know, like, you'll be dead 50 years before the copyright expired. The fact that it's going to last another 20 years doesn't matter to you at all.
But it could matter to the family. I know that the family of Arthur Conan Doyle has fought for years to curb the use of Sherlock Holmes by other authors. And Sherlock Holmes enters, or certainly the casebook of Sherlock Holmes, one of the books, enters public domain this year. And I know that Disney has fought long and hard to make sure that Mickey Mouse is protected. So it does benefit someone, just not the artist at that
right.
point.
It does benefit somebody. It does benefit the copyright holder if that work still has value.
Yeah.
But it doesn't do what copyright should be doing, which is incentivizing artists to create.
Mm-hmm. And so we have all these things that have come into the public domain now. This looks to me like kind of a blockbuster year. We're getting into the film years now. So Metropolis, the Fritz Lang film, one of the greatest films ever made. The Jazz Singer, one of the seminal films in Hollywood, the first sound film. And it goes on. There's an Alfred Hitchcock film here, Cecil B. DeMille film. And people can now use these things. You could put out your own version of Metropolis now. You could literally just burn DVDs and sell them, and there's nothing the studio could do about it.
You could.
Yeah.
And I think an interesting point to make is that these works are entering the public domain in the United States, which had the life plus 70 year.
Right.
In Canada, these works were in the public domain 20 years ago.
Mm. And so as long as we don't sell them in the United States or hadn't sold them in the United States, we would have been fine. You can sell them in Canada, but a country who still has, when they're still under copyright in that country, we couldn't sell them into the U.S.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, it's a fascinating thing, and I'll be interested to see what people do with some of this stuff. Last year, we got a very violent Winnie the Pooh movie. Steamboat Willie is about to go into the public domain, and that's the original Mickey Mouse. I'm curious to see what will happen there. Ian, thank you so much for your expertise on this.
You're very welcome, Richard. Have a good evening.
I will. You too. That was Ian Harris, right, entertainment lawyer from Edwards Creative Law, talking about public domain and what it means. And it's a fascinating thing. There's so much money. There's so much money. People want to hang on to these copyrights. But now if you want to take Swonderful by George and Ira Gershwin and do with it what you will, you can, because it's in the public domain and nobody owns it anymore. When we come back, we're going to talk about rejected license plates of 2022. You know, people have those funny, customized license plates. Well, some of them aren't so funny. Some of them just don't get the thumbs up from the province. We'll tell you why when we come back. Stay with me.